Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Our mission is to reach, teach, and baptize throughout the world, beginning in our community, fulfilling the Great Commission by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. That simply means we're here to reach irreligious people and turn them into lifelong devoted followers of Jesus, equip them for a place of service in the church, and send them out on a mission for Christ in the world. We're glad you're with us today. I command blessings on you and your family today.
A lot of questions that we all have, but do we know where the answers are? There are people who make up questions. I like game shows where I see a lot of questions. Some of them trivial, some of them don't make sense. I love Family Feud, you know, and they come up with some crazy questions, and sometimes the answers doesn't make sense. But whenever we ask God questions, God always has the right answers for us. And those answers always, always do us good, even if we don't understand the answers that He gives. I want you to pray with me now as we pray now to prepare for the word for the morning. Father, we do thank You. Been questions this week, and we thank You for the answers. Sometimes Your answers are not what we agree with or believe what's in our best interest, but we yield to You because we know that You always know what's best for us. Thank You for watching over us and guiding us and protecting us and bringing us through this week of activity, of trial and tribulation, of up and down. We thank You now for rest last night and for allowing us to rise early this morning and with our hearts and minds on You and wanting to be here in the house of prayer. And we thank You that since we've been here, we've been helped through the song, ministry of music, intercession of prayers, reading of scripture together. And now, Lord, a moment to hear Your word. And we pray that it's not just a futile activity, but becomes a moment for our lives to be changed as we yield to the instruction that you would give. Lift now your human again out of self and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and through us. Bless now the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord. You are our God. You are our Redeemer. Help us now. Bless like only you can. In Jesus' name. Before we went away, we were in the book of Romans, and I just want to go there at least one more time. I told you there were six things in that passage in Romans chapter 5, and we covered two the last time, and I want to look at least two today, and we may do it next week. We may have to skip a week and then come back to it, but let's turn now to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at the first four verses, with the emphasis being verses 2 and 4, 2 through 4. The Word of God, you read it responsively earlier. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. This is the Word of God for the people of God. I want to talk again about, you can't lose this. This is part two. You can't lose this. It's clear, and all of you know, there are many things in life we can lose. And we do lose a lot. We lose relationships. We lose resources. We lose health. We lose family members. We lose friends. We lose interests. We lose a lot of things. But the one thing that you and I cannot lose is our salvation. I want to talk about this because I feel that the church, not this local assembly, but the church in general, has drifted away from the Word of God. And we have gotten so much into the feel-good things that our understanding of scriptural teaching is lacking. And what I want to help you understand this morning is, when you get the basic theological understanding straight, while things are reasonably well, while there are no pressures, while there are no crises in your life, it will make the difference in your life when challenges come. But when people don't have the understanding and the grounding that they need from a biblical scriptural base, it messes with their mind. Just this past week, I heard of a friend of a friend who was just going through challenges, And he decided that I don't want to live no more. So he called one of his buddies, and the boy came. As soon as he got there, the guy took a gun and just pow. And more we're hearing that. We're seeing that. Why? Because people don't have what God has given. And what God has given is salvation. And what we have got to get down deep inside of us is once you have it, you cannot lose it. There are people who debate that. There are people who want you to think that you can lose it, but you can't. You can't lose what you did not give. You did not, you can't lose what was not yours from the beginning. You can't lose what God, the action of God. No one can reverse the actions of God. And when God's people understand that, God's people can thrive and survive no matter what. No one can take this from you. But we do have an enemy. And that enemy is Satan. And what he tries to do is confuse people in this area, because this is where he doesn't want your understanding to be clear. If he messes you up in, as it relates to salvation, and have you doubting whether or not you're really a child of God and whether or not you're really going to live eternally with God in heaven, then he can play all kinds of games with you. Don't let trouble come, because he really then leans in on you and start telling you what God is not going to do, and how you're not going to make it, and how things are just going to get worse. And everybody runs every day with some level of fear and some level of trepidation. Listen, if it wasn't true, why you got those masks on? You got them on because you don't want nobody coughing in your face. And if they sneeze you, oh, listen, man, I know people that walk around with instant spray. Because they do not want to get sick. Because we know that that could lead to an increase and a downward slope in life. And so consequently, we try to protect our health. We know we can lose it, but you can't lose your salvation. And that's good news. That's great news. That's awesome news. And I want to help you with it today, because what Paul has laid out in the fifth chapter of Romans, actually in the first 11 verses, are the assurances that we need to be, to know that what we have, it can't go anywhere. And he gives us really and truly six links. Let me take you in before this. I know you didn't remember what Jesus said. When Jesus was on the earth, Jesus was talking one day in John chapter 10. And he talked about the assurance and the security of believers. Jesus said it like this. He said, once you're in my hand, no one can pluck you out. That is, no one can snatch you out. No one can sneak you out. No one can get you out of my hand. And I've said it many times, even said it the last time. When you are born into a family, that becomes a unchangeable relationship. Now, only ladies, well, some guys too, you can change your last name if you want to. But it doesn't mean that you can change who your folk are. When you were born into that family, that was the family that God provided for you. And those are your people. Regardless of what you think, regardless of how y'all get along or don't get along, that's still your folk. And no one can change that. You cannot not be who you are. And it's true in the spiritual realm. When you become a child of God, a son or daughter of Christ, of Jesus, of Father God, that is a relationship that you cannot undo. Now, that's great, man. That's just awesome, man. I just need you to know this morning. You can't lose it. And I don't care who tried to tell you, you can. And you know, people are accustomed to big lies in our society. And the bigger the lie, the easier it is for people to believe the lie. And the biggest lie out of hell is you're not going to go to heaven. That you're going to mess up. And that's the question that Paul is trying to get at, because he understands that people will go through challenges and will say, well, what if I mess up? What if I sin? What if I sin real bad? Then will that somehow nullify my relationship or my standing with God? And I came to tell you, not even you can mess up what God has done. And how many know? See, we know us. We know we mess up. And we know what the word said. We know the word said we're supposed to live right. And we are. But we don't live right perfectly. We know we're supposed to keep the law, keep the word of God. But we can't keep it perfectly. And so God understands all that, and he gives you this gift called salvation. So let me get at this, what we said before. The first two links in verse one, he said, therefore, Paul is talking here. He said, we have been justified. That is, you have been given a right standing with God. Touch somebody, say, right standing. I have a right standing with God. And I didn't get that on my own. God gave that to me. Even though I'm not right, God counts me right. Okay? Now, can you get that going first? Can we get that going? I've been counted right. Say that then. I've been counted right. Even though I'm not right. That's good news, isn't it? Okay, now, and because he has counted you right, look at what you have. You have peace with God. Now, and I'm not talking about the feeling, the tranquil feeling that, oh, I'm all right. No, it's the essence of the relationship. Now, what I'm meaning is, and what I tried to explain to you last time, is that God has ended the war with you. Now, every person who comes on the earth is a sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 7, or should I say the 7th number of the Psalm and the 11th verse, makes it clear that God is angry with sinful people. Okay? And he remains that way until they accept the gift that he has given. That is the gift of salvation through Jesus. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, the war is over. God then brings you into a right standing and gives you peace with himself. Now, that's a benefit that lets you know you cannot lose. I cannot lose the peace with God. If he made the peace, if he made the treaty, then, and he has given it to me, then I can't mess that up. Are you hearing that? And not only did he give me peace with himself, but he has given us access. Don't miss that. Say access. Access. That was something the Jewish people understood they did not have. all throughout the Old Testament, they never had or enjoyed access. Exodus 19 is the classic chapter. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were going to meet God. They had gotten to Mount Sinai, and God told Moses, listen, tell the people to separate themselves from their wives, sanctify themselves, don't do anything, refrain, wash their clothes, wash themselves, and appear before me on the third day. And all of the people came before God. They're going to meet God. And God is on the mountain. They can't see him physically in the human form, but they come out to meet him, and God comes down on Mount Sinai, and the mountain is on fire. It looks like a volcano. The mountain is shaking, and people are trembling, and the voice of God was so threatening and frightening, the people knew. God said, don't come up on this mountain. If you do, you're going to die. So they knew they could not come into the presence of God. There were several people. One who the priest named Abihu and his brother, they tried to offer strange fire one day. And God killed them. Another day, David wanted to bring the ark back to God. They put it on a new cart. The ark is moving, and the oxen that were carrying the cart stumble. And one of the men tried to stabilize the ark by putting his hand on it, and God killed him. So the folk knew they did not have access to God. It was illustrated in the Old Testament building of the tabernacle and the building of the temple. God had a certain little room, the last part of it, called the Holy of Holies. And it was separated by a curtain. And only the high priest could go in that room once a year. The whole idea of the whole tabernacle layout and the temple layout is that you can only go so far. When you first came into the tabernacle or to the temple later, that was called the court of the Gentiles. The Gentiles could go in the outer court, but they couldn't go further. Then there was the court of women. Jewish women could go into the court of the women, but they could not go any further. The priests could go into the inner court, but they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go into this sanctified place. So access was denied. Have you ever tried to log on to your computer and you get the message, access denied? The children of Israel understood access was denied until the day Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus went to the cross and he died, the Bible said the veil, that means he's talking about the description of the tabernacle of the temple. The curtain that divided where the priest and the high priest could go was torn from top to bottom. Look what it did. It gave access immediately to people. So guess what? Now you have access to who? And what does that mean? That you have privilege. Writer to the Hebrews said, so let us come boldly to the throne of grace. But we go to God like we do leaving out a Baptist church. Tiptoeing. Like we're afraid. Like God doesn't want to see you, doesn't want to be bothered with you. God tells you, come to me. Jesus said, ask whatever you will, and it shall be what? Seek, and you shall what? Knock, and the door shall be. Okay, and he says, some of you. No, he said, everyone who asketh, and everyone who seeketh, and everyone who knocks on my door will be open to him. So he's talking about access. And with access come protection and mercy and everything else that you need. But see what the access does more than just give you permission to come into God's presence. Access gives you the second element of your assurance of salvation. It gives you the entry into this period of grace that we now stand in. There are two parts that the Bible speaks of. Either you are under grace or you are under law. In the Old Testament, they were under law. Okay? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if you hit me in the eye and blackened my eye, I had a right to do what? Hit you back in your eye and give you a black eye. If you snatched out one of my teeth, then guess what I could do? Snatch all of yours. Okay? All right. That was law. But now, because we have been given access, we are no longer under law, but we have entered into this period called grace. And grace means that even though I sin, God's grace forgives. That's hard for you to get your hand on because you know you. And you are not a gracious person. You still want to behave like law. When someone violates you, you want to exact law. But that's your way. That's not God's way. God has put us in a period or in this segment called grace. And we now stand in grace, and nothing can send us back into the era of law. And so that should also become a link to assure you that you are saved. That nothing can take away from you. If I'm under grace, then I'm under what? I'm under grace. And grace means I know you're messing up, but I'm still going to look past you and provide for your needs. That's good news. All right? Are you with me? So there's two links. What's the first link? We have peace with God. The war is over. God is not after us. He's not trying to kill us. He's not trying to take us or send us to hell. He has declared you are not guilty, even though you are. And he has given you access to himself. So now you stand in a period of grace. How many know about grace? You know about those periods of grace. How many of you have been late on a payment? And somebody said all the time. And they have a segment or a window of time that's called what? Grace period. Grace period. Meaning what? You're not under penalty. Not then. Because you are going to experience what? Grace. And even though you're wrong, even though you're late, they will still accept it and not exact the penalty on you. Because it's, and if you're living in this era, and it's called the era of grace, then God is not interested in exacting the punishment that you so richly deserve. So he's telling you through that you have salvation, and you can't lose it. But, somebody said, but, that's not all. So I got peace with God. I got access to Jesus with all of the protections and all of the intercession that goes with that. And I didn't explain that this time. And I'm standing now in this era of grace. But there's a third link that even goes a little deeper. And I now have and live with hope. What am I hoping for? Hope is always a futuristic term. Is I'm hoping that one day I will live in the very presence and glory of God. And that hope doesn't disappoint. That's what the scripture text says. Now, why doesn't that hope disappoint? Or why is hope so important? Everything we do is in hope. Now, what you have done, that's in the past. But anything you're going to do today, later today, everything you're going to do tomorrow, everything you're going to do next week, Everything you're going to do in the future, anytime, is all in what? In hope. What you say? I hope so. You know, I'm going to work tomorrow. I hope so. I'm going to get paid Friday. Guess what? I hope so. I'm going to retire in 2 years. Guess what? I hope so. I'm going to take a vacation at the end of September. I'm going to win the lottery. So I'm driving to Atlanta or to Tennessee to buy 20 tickets. I don't want to mess with you like that, but I'm just trying to help you understand what hope is. It is always futuristic. And you cannot live on earth a meaningful, satisfying life without hope. So you can't have salvation without hope, because hope is tied to the future of your eternal life. Now, let me tell you something, because I'm, as a pastor, I visit sick people. And I visit people who sometimes recognize that time is up. Okay, and guess what they are leaning on? God, don't miss out on your promise now. Now is the time that I really need to know that your promise is what? It's true. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if you get this in you now, then you don't worry about it when it comes to that moment, because you have been assured of it, you will have practiced it, and you will have become confident in what God says is what God means. Again, that's when the devil attacks, because he doesn't want you to have that confident assurance. So in those moments of human weaknesses, and we all are human, and we all have weaknesses. And guess where those weaknesses manifest themselves the most? In the times of fear. Anybody here ever been afraid? And when you become afraid of something, you tend then to doubt. But God's word is an assurance to us so that we do not have to doubt. Now, I've never been to heaven. You haven't either. But we read in the record that the streets are what? Paved with? Every day will be Sunday. And you know the saying. And the Sabbath have no end. Huh? Gonna see Abraham. You wouldn't know Abraham if he walked in the door. And Isaac. And Jacob. That's what we said. And Paul and Peter. They gonna look like everybody else. And mama and daddy and all. We live with that. What's that called? Hope. And we believe that we're going to live in the presence of God forever. And God is not going to get mad with us and decide, okay, you've been here too long. I'm going to get you out of here. That is not who our God is. Are you hearing me? So we live with hope. And that hope, now let me help you understand, is a living hope. Not only does Paul say it, but Peter, in the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter, Peter said, we have been saved in hope. And not only have we been saved in hope, but it's a living hope that's reserved for us in heaven, and it cannot fade away. So I want you to understand, it is real, it is assurance, it is there. And Paul has just said here in Romans chapter 5 that we rejoice in hope. Now, what that means is we have kind of a confident swagger, that we kind of have a braggadociousness about our future. We are not apprehensive. We are not afraid of it. We are not passive about it. We have a rejoicing, boastful confidence about what it's going to be about. Man, and if you don't have that, you are going to be a mess. That's why religions that don't teach on hope, I don't understand how people can handle that. If you don't have hope, what do you have? Paul says it later. He says, hope that's seen, why do we yet hope for it? He says in another place, he said, and now by these three, faith, hope, and the greatest of these. Okay, so you got to have those. Those are elements of your salvation. That's the assurance. These are the links that let you know that you are truly in the family of God. Now, he also says we rejoice in tribulation. He said we get happy when trouble comes. Somebody said, not me, Pastor. Not me, I hate it. But when you got the right perspective, you begin to understand that trouble is not designed to wreck your faith. Trouble is actually designed to prove to you that you have the legitimate stuff. Listen, when you go through something and you believe God and you come out on the other side of it, you have confidence in what the trouble has done. It has developed and secured and given you the assurance that your faith really is real. Man, listen, how many cancer survivors are in here today? Yes, you are. You are looking and you telling people with confidence, I survived cancer. How many here ever faced a real fear? Like I did that day when the pook and them were behind me and they were shooting and I was laying across the seat. When I got up, I said, guess what? I survived. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, I told you 3 or 4 times, 50 times or more. I remember one day when I was at Woodlawn High School, principal of the school, man, they called me on the walkie-talkie and said, Mr. West, there's a fight in the lunchroom. The boy got a gun. And, man, everybody was running, so I went running to, I'm running to the lunchroom going down there. Man, I see the kids running this way. I see a boy with a gun in his hand. I snatch it out of his hand. I'm running, looking for the boy that got the gun. They said, Mr. Wedley, that was him. I had to go home. Not that I was afraid at the moment. But in the aftermath of, when I thought about what could have been. But guess what? I have confidence today because the Lord brought me through. Are you hearing me? Anybody ever been in a car wreck and you came out on the other side of the car wreck? Anybody ever had financial difficulty where it looked like it was all messed up and God brought you out and now you look back at what you have gone through? Listen, somebody sung it one time, said, I don't look like what I've been through. You can't look at me and tell where I've been, but I've been through hell. I've been through high water, but I'm confident today because the hand of the Lord was upon me. Man, I can say, oh. Are you understanding that? And that gives me confidence. This is what Paul says. He said, we rejoice. Not only in hope, but we rejoice in trouble, in tribulation, because tribulation produces patience in us. And patience produces character. And character produces that hope. And it lets me know that when trouble comes again, I'm going to get through it because I got through it the last time. And the same God who brought me through the last time will bring me through it this time and will keep bringing me through it because he has a plan for me. God says through the prophet Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Well, that's the confidence that we have in our salvation. But I gotta give you something else. I want you to understand you have the assurance. You can't lose your salvation because you now have peace with God. The war is over. Okay? God is not after you. You have peace with God. You have access now to the presence of God. You have Jesus and the Holy Spirit as your intercessors. You have also been brought into this period of grace where you now stand and you can't go back to law. So you are saved. Even though you sin, God's grace covers you. Are you understanding me? You also have hope and you can rejoice even when trouble comes. Trouble is not designed to mess up your faith. Trouble is designed to prove your faith to be authentic. But then, in the fourth verse, Paul drops another nugget that gives us the assurance of our salvation. And he talks about love. See, you have the love of God. That's what he says in that verse. He said, but we also glory in tribulations. That's what I just got through talking. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Now, before Jesus, you were not a very loving person. Is there anybody that can tell the truth? Before Jesus, I may have been all right. But I wasn't loving. I wasn't shot through, true and true, with love. But now the Lord has poured out his love in us. And I can't help but be loving. Even though my sinful nature tries to rise, the love of God constrains me and forces me to do what I sometimes even don't want to do. Is there anybody here that find yourself being nice when you want to be nasty? Is there anybody here that know you can look over stuff you used to could not look over? And you can forgive people that you used to could not forgive? That when people said something, you had four or five more things you could say to them. But now something inside of you controls. It's not something, it's somebody. When God pours out his love, what he's doing, he's giving you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit becomes your internal controller. Now, let me tell you about that internal control. This love that you have. It's God's love, so you can't put him out. You can't expel him. You can't tell him, get lost. You can't tell him, get out. Because he does not leave. Are you hearing that? Now, watch this. And the love is so strong that you can't do anything about it. Paul, again, writes to these same Romans in the 8th chapter. He says, for we know that in all things, God works for good, right? For who? Those who love him, those that are the called according to his purpose. And then he lays out the process. For whom he foreknew, them he called. And them he called, he predestined to become the image of the Son of God. So this glory, this all of this stuff is talking about your future. You're not in the image of God yet. You're on your way. But one day, you're going to be made just like his Son. And that's in your future. Are you got me? Now watch this about this love. He goes on down a little further in that same 8th chapter. And when he get down to verse 35, he says, what can separate me from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then he started trying to name what possibly could do it. He said, I'm persuaded. He said, I'm convinced. He said, I'm just downright sure about it. That neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So if God cannot be taken away from me, it has to mean that I am safe. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leading on the everlasting arm. What a peace of mind I have. Leading on the everlasting arm. I'm leading. Anybody leading? Anybody leading? Oh, Jesus. Listen. I'm safe and secure from all along. Nothing or nobody can stop God from coming to my rescue. Nothing or no one can stop God from blessing me. Nothing or no one can stop God. Nothing or no one can stop God from picking me up, from rocking me to sleep, from holding me and keeping me by his keeping power. I'm safe. I'm safe. 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 It. No one else can give you peace with God, and you can't lose it. No one else can give you access to God, and you can't lose it. Even if you forget the password, you can still get access. No one can take away your standing in grace. No one can take away your hope for your future. And no one can take away the love that God has for you. And so you are safe. You are secure. And you are somebody. And you just got to learn how to live with that. And when you learn how to live with that, and walk in that kind of confidence every day. This is what Jesus meant when he said, you can speak to mountains. Yeah. You can say to mountains, get out of my way. All right. And guess what? Mountains have no choice. They have to move because of the power that flows through you when you speak and declare God's eternal word. Right. You are somebody. You are somebody. The devil try to cheat you out of who you are. Other people try to talk you down from who you are.
Yeah.
But when you understand the truth of the word of God, you are forced to be reckoned with. You are. Paul said, this is what he wrote to the Philippians, and I'm done. When Paul write to the Philippians, he said, listen, for me to live is Christ. Now he looks at that hope, he said, and if I die, then I gain, because I got my future. You see, you can't lose no way it is.
Yes, sir.
When you understand who you are, God got you today. God loves you. God blesses you. I declare, I speak life over you. I speak life into you. I speak power into your life. You will not be the same from this day forward. You will go out of here with your head up. You will go out of here with your heart assured. And whatever comes your way, you will walk in the confidence of knowing the living God is with you. And if you hear that and receive that today, you will leave here different than you came. Come on now. Doors of the church open. Doors open. Doors open. Doors open. Doors open. Come on, come on. Come on, my brother. Come on.
Put your hands together.
Come on, come on, help us. Anytime during the singing of the song, give God your heart. Give one of these your hands.
Child,
yes,
and I'm doing the best that I can. Why my way gets so dark? You know I just don't understand. Oh Lord. As I travel from place to place, many times I'm treated so bad. And then I sit and think about, I can't miss the friend that I've never had. Hold on,
hold on,
yeah.
I need you to hold my hand.
Right now, right now, right now, right now. I'm gonna continue to run for Jesus, even if I have to run alone, because it's my determination to make God beautiful ahead of my own. Hold on,
hold on.
Sometimes when burden oppress me, I say, hold me,
hold me,
Jesus,
Jesus,
hold me,
hold me,
Jesus,
Jesus.
The reason why,
hold me,
I want you to hold me, Lord,
Jesus.
If you don't hold,
hold me,
I would surely fall.
Jesus,
need your strength,
hold me,
need your mercy, Lord,
Jesus.
If you hold. Dr.
Jesus,
somebody need you,
hold me,
to be a lawyer,
yeah, Jesus,
hold somebody now,
hold
me, on the bed of affliction,
Jesus,
they said, hold me,
hold me,
hold me, Lord,
Jesus,
hold me,
hold me,
hold me, Lord,
Jesus,
come on, hold me.
I need you to hold my hand.
Right now, right now, right now, right now, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Yes.
I need you to hold my hand.
Yeah. Hold my hand.
And that's what you have. And that's the confidence that you can live with. That God will hold your hand. That he has you. And once you're in his hand, no one can take you out, because you are secure. You can't lose this.
Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Wesley, senior pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. And I know by now you know about this new book that we have released. Not only have we released it, the book is here. And it's an excellent read. Not just because I wrote it, but because of the content and what it conveys. It tells the story of where marriage comes from. Marriage comes from God. And I need us to know that. And if you're in love and are considering this particular path for your life, the content of this book will help you along the way. Not only do we talk about where marriage comes from, we talk about keys to compatibility, what's necessary to be effective in marriage. I have a little acronym in the book. It's called CUT, C-U-T, Communication, Understanding, Trust. That becomes the basic formula that's necessary for any marriage to be successful. Not only do we talk about those things and the keys to compatibility, we also talk about staying in love. Once you're in love, we certainly want to remain in love. And some may wonder, well, what if I married the wrong person? We even deal with that as well. So this is a great opportunity for you to make sure that you're in line with what God's will is for your life. God bless you. Please follow the prompts on the screen that you may know how to get your personal copy of this book. Friends, this is Michael Wesley, senior pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We really appreciate all of the love and support that you have shown to us through these broadcasts. We've been hearing from people and our friends all over, and we want you to pray about being a supporter and a prayer partner and a supporter of this television ministry. If you believe the Holy Spirit has ministered the Word of God to you and you'd like to see this ministry continue and to share it with your friends, please consider being a supporter. Follow the prompts on the screen. We would love to hear from you.